Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
You don't want to hear that this guy with whom you have to do business and claim to the world that we have a close relationship, we are allies, whatever, that's what he says about you? Effing liar? Bad effing guy? 18 out of 19 people around him?
I love the specificity of that. It's not even 19 out of 20, but 18 out of 19.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
This morning, Milton out over the Atlantic made landfall as a Category 3 hurricane. I had read somewhere, E, that sustained winds near the point of landfall, which is where the eye crosses, that turned out to be Sarasota, just south of Tampa, that there were sustained winds of 120 miles an hour. And to put that in perspective, that's like an EF2 tornado, but that doesn't turn off or pass through. It just keeps blowing and blowing. Here's some natural sound here from Sarasota as the storm blew ashore. Joining us live from Florida this morning, CBS News correspondent Peter King. And Peter, as the sun is rising now over Florida, what is the story this morning? Is it that it wasn't quite as bad as perhaps anticipated, or was it everything we thought?
Well, it's the former, and Governor Ron DeSantis just told us a little while ago that storm surge was actually lower than expected, so there is a little bit of good news in all of this. But that's not to downplay the impact of this storm. This is still a hugely destructive storm and a deadly one as well. Storm surge was lower, but it was still, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 feet, and that's still taller than you and me, I believe. So you don't want to see that wall of water coming at you, and there's going to be an awful lot of damage on the Gulf Coast. It steamed through the central part of the state as a hurricane, so there's damage and flooding inland as well. Daytona Beach, same thing. It is just left there, but we expect some damage along the coast as well.
Do we know, Peter, how long some of the floodwaters would linger? Will they stay? Will it dissipate over the day, or is it weeks?
It's really hard to tell, and those waters are going to continue to rise for the next couple of days because the rivers and lakes, they are absolutely swollen and saturated.
Talking with Peter King from CBS News, he is in Florida this morning as the hurricane is now out over the Atlantic. I thought really fascinating, and it turns out deadly, were these tornadoes, Peter, that broke out ahead of the storm making landfall, and those were further inland.
Now, I've got to tell you, I've been here for more than 30 years, and I've never seen anything quite like this. There were dozens, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 and or 90 National Weather Service tornado warnings that went out yesterday. Many of them in South Florida, some of them here in Central Florida. One of those tornadoes we know is deadly. That's in St. Lucie County, where 4 people were killed yesterday. We just found that out this morning. Tornadoes, for those who are not aware, you know, that's one of the byproducts from any hurricane because there is so much thunderstorm activity, so much electricity, so much stirring up of the atmosphere that tornadoes get spawned from these storms.
Perhaps one of the iconic images from Milton that will always be shown on television in the years and decades later will be Tropicana Field. The roof is gone.
Well, you know what? That's never going to happen at your ballpark in Milwaukee if they keep the roof open, of course. But Tropicana Field, which was supposed to be a staging area, and it's where the Tampa Bay Rays play, as you well know, the roof was blown off of that. And you know what? This building is solid, and the roof is pretty solid, and that should give you an idea of just how strong these winds were. Yeah, you said 120 miles per hour, and that is nothing to sneeze at. Fortunately, it was supposed to be used as a staging area, but nobody was in there at the time, so nobody was hurt in there. I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people were in there at the time.
Talking with Peter King from CBS News. He's live with us from Florida this morning. Peter, you know, so many folks here in Wisconsin have ties to Florida. Either they are, you know, snowbirds, as we call them. So they winter there in Florida or have a place, whether it be a timeshare, a place they regularly go. I'm curious for folks who live up here, how that works. Like if their home or condo or what have you has been damaged and they don't get down there right away, like what sort of happens to these properties that might be badly damaged, but no one's there?
That's a really good question. And, you've got to hope that those people have friends and neighbors down here that can at least give them eyeballs and let them know what's going on. But, you know, bottom line is if these are places that they own, you know, they've got to take responsibility for whatever happens with them. If they're timeshares, well, it's a whole different ballgame because there are management companies and such that should be dealing with that. But, you know, either way, you want to know that your home is safe, and hopefully you've got people to keep an eye on it while you're gone.
How long are people supposed to evacuate, Peter? When are they encouraged to come back, or is it way too early to even discuss it?
Way too early right now, and for the most part, they're asking people who did evacuate to stay away while road crews clean up the roads and get rid of the debris and that kind of thing. We haven't heard of any major damage to roadways, which is a really good thing. We haven't heard anything about damage to causeways that lead to barrier islands, so that is also a good thing. As for those who stayed put, mayors and emergency managers are asking everybody to stay put, not to go out and around and let the different crews, you know, road crews, utility crews, first responders, let them do their jobs.
Peter King live with us from CBS News this morning. Thank you, Peter.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. You know, I thought it was very interesting what we heard earlier. So there was a concern of a 15-foot storm surge in Tampa Bay. So because the storm as a Category 3 hit south of Tampa, and because of the way hurricanes rotate, it actually pulled water out of the bay versus adding 10 to 15 feet onto the bay. So whether or not that caused issues also, we'll see. But it was exactly the opposite of what they were anticipating, the fact that it was actually pulling water from the bay just because of the rotation of the storm as it hit south of there.
You know, you and I were talking about this. My daughter, who's not usually plugged into national and international news at 17, actually came home yesterday and was kind of bent out of shape over it, or like disturbed by what she was hearing or seeing. It must be social media or what.
It's gotta be.
Like,
TikTok.
Dad, what's going on in Florida tonight? Yep. Like, are people dying tonight in Florida? Like right now? I'm like, it's not good. We talked a little bit about the tornadoes that had already struck and like what that's like to ride out a hurricane, but wondered if that, you know, how that was reaching her.
I would say it's TikTok times whatever. I think you're seeing more and more content and news content being put on TikTok all the time. I mean, that's clearly how they're seeing that. And I think that's kind of neat, actually, that she's hearing about things she wouldn't have heard about
and
otherwise.
And cared and was engaged and thought to ask and follow up for more information.
As of now, 4 dead confirmed that is being reported. Who knows if that number will go up, but as of now, 4.
And that's as a result of the tornadoes earlier that we talked about with Peter there in St. Lucie County. And for those of you who do have connections to Florida, if you have family there, you have a place there, or spots that you typically visit, definitely thinking of all of you this morning and hope everything turns out okay. 8:20 on Wisconsin's Morning News. All right, admit it. We all do it. From time to time, probably not proud of it, but everybody does this. Talk a little bit about folks behind their backs. Now, this is where Eric says he doesn't. He never does
everybody?
That.
Everybody?
Right? Get out of here.
I don't know if everybody does this, Vince,
yes,
but go ahead.
Everybody does it. Yes, you do.
Interesting.
Listening right now in your car. Yes, you do. Might be doing it right now. I'm interrupting you from bagging on your brother or whatever is happening
there. Just keep telling yourself this, Vince. Make
folks
yourself
over
feel a little
work.
Bit better about it.
So typically you talk about it, and then you don't want, obviously, the person whom you're bagging on to find out that you were talking about
sure,
them, right?
Sure, of course.
But that happens sometimes. And then it creates maybe sort of an awkward reconnection when you then have to go again and work with that person or talk to that person.
Or try
or
to be their friend again.
Right. Because you know, they know that you were talking.
Mm.
So it's in that context that I find this call Wednesday between President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So fascinating. More on that in a moment. First, the content of the call. As I mentioned the other day, and this is very serious, still lingering amid the rising tensions in the Middle East, is Israel's response to a direct attack from Iran. Remember, Iran rained missiles down on Tel Aviv, Haifa, other major cities in Israel. That's more than a week ago. You know Israel will respond.
And we will know when they are responding.
Right. And
there will be no question.
That response is imminent. What's it going to be? So we don't know at this point. The U.S. continues to urge restraint, as it typically does. Yeah. Karen Travers from ABC News is at the White House.
President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke for 30 minutes by phone Thursday. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre on their call.
It was 30 minutes long. It was direct. It was productive.
Jean-Pierre wouldn't give specific details about what the two leaders spoke about in their first phone call since late August. She did note that the U.S. and Israeli governments have been in close contact since Iran's attack on Israel last week.
Those discussions continued with the president and the prime minister.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
So what's any of this got to do with all the stuff I just said about talking behind people's back? So you heard Karen report there. First call between the two leaders since August. It is also the first since this was just reported that President Biden speaks not so kindly about Prime Minister Netanyahu when he's behind closed doors talking with staff.
Furious with Netanyahu, and he says to an aide, quote, that son of a, you can read it on there, Bibi Netanyahu, he's a bad guy, he's a bad effing guy. He doesn't give a about Hamas. He gives a blank only about himself. He's an effing liar. 18 out of 19 people who work for him are effing liars.
I don't get that part at the end. It almost sounds like a commercial. 18 out of 19 doctors hate Netanyahu.
You can almost hear it ramping up, the cadence. He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
Yeah,
18 out of 19
guys. Yeah.
Right? It's just like he's crescendoing in this rant. Well, he's got to get on the phone with him. There's no way Netanyahu doesn't know about that. That was CNN, I should back up, reporting on the new book by journalist Bob Woodward, is due out next week. The book is called War. And Woodward reporting that that was a quote from the president as he continues to deal with the prime minister. It was all over the news for a couple of days, had to get back to Netanyahu.
So you think he cares about that? You think Bibi really cares?
I don't know that he cares, but also you don't want to hear that this guy with whom you have to do business and claim to the world that we have a close relationship, we are allies, whatever, that's what he says about you? Effing liar? Bad effing guy? 18 out of 19 people around him?
I love the specificity of that. It's not even 19 out of 20, but 18 out of 19.
So is that how you start the call if you're Netanyahu?
Well, how would you advise the president?
Well, I want to do Netanyahu first.
You make a joke out of it?
Yes. Oh, Mr. President. I'm curious who the 19th is.
Yeah, which one likes
which
me?
Which one of the guys is not an effing liar that works with me? If I were advising the president, it would have to be like, look, for sure he's heard about this, and you got more important things to worry about over name-calling in the background, so like probably clear the air right away and be like, you probably heard about this. Sorry about that. I was hot this one day. No big deal. Let's get on to business.
No,
but I would address it. Would you not? Are you just saying you're going to let that thing sit out there?
Why let quote unquote media entities or, you know, the papers quote unquote dictate how you're going to have a relationship with another foreign official?
Well, but you can't unring the bell. It's out there.
Yeah, I suppose. I just don't. I certainly hope they have better things to talk about.
Sure. Okay, we'll put it in context of work. You found out, you know, whatever, one of our managers or whatever. Let's put it on Spalding.
Okay.
Okay. That I tell you, hey, man, Spalls was talking a blue streak about you the other day. He was mad. Bilstead, he never leaves any stuff. He doesn't write anything for the web. It's all gone. Yeah. That effing Bilstead, effing this.
18 out of 19,
18
people,
out of 19
here
people who work
hate
here
Bilstead.
Hate Bilstead. Okay. And now we go upstairs at 9 o'clock and there's Mike.
Well,
you have to address it.
The difference is that lives are not on the line if he's going to throw a fit over something I did or did not do.
Okay.
Yes, I would say something to him. You're right. I'd be like, hey, so
got to get it out.
Which person do you not like?
No, but you know what? I know you and
you're a professional, so you would just say, like, hey, man, we should probably go somewhere and talk and, like, air this out. Like, is what's going on?
What would you
do? That's what you would do. Me, I'd ignore him. Be like, no, I'm not talking to you.
Passive aggression.
Which is so petty and lame, but that's what I would do. That's me admitting, like, I would carry a grudge.
If Biden is the first one to speak, hello, BB.
Right.
Hey, what is he saying?
Biden?
Hey, so, hey.
Listen, I'm sure you heard.
Okay,
right?
That's just
and
okay.
Whatever. And those, let's move on and deal with more important
I see.
Things.
I get it.
He's still funny.
He's an effing liar. 18 out of 19 people who work for him are effing liars.
You ever noticed when you go to a state park or a nature preserve, sometimes there'll be a sign that says, like, please don't feed the animals.
The zoo.
Yeah,
right? Don't
feed
the animals.
At the zoo.
Right.
In Washington State, a woman called 911 because her house was surrounded by more than 100 raccoons.
Kitsap County Sheriff's deputies came to her rescue after she was forced to run away in her car to escape the furry and very hungry creatures.
The creatures wouldn't leave her around or leave her alone. They would surround her, chase her. She'd Jeez. Had to run into her car and drive away from all of the raccoons. So many, says a DNR spokesperson to 9 News in Seattle.
They were shocked. They had never seen that many raccoons in one place.
So that's a DNR warden talking there. Here's a neighbor.
I've had several raccoons in the yard recently. My dogs have gotten in a scuffle several times with raccoons. I even had to take one of my dogs to the vet after tussling with a raccoon.
That neighbor even saying that there's a lot of carcasses because they get hit by cars in the roadway there. This is west of Seattle across the Puget Sound there. So this is a gorgeous, you know, the terrain there, all the wooded areas, the islands and all that. So it's just it's a wooded area, but there are obviously a bunch of houses there as well. So why are all these raccoons here?
Yeah, it's a lot too. Like the picture, it looks like a coon convention.
Right.
Like they were like all like summoned.
It's as if you were watching Birds, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, but it's raccoons. Like they pan around and they're everywhere.
He looks cute, though.
So what's the deal? Well, after this lady called 911 and the sheriff's department came there and all this stuff, what they explained was, she says, well, I've been feeding them for 30 years. Well, okay, that might be part of the issue. They say then the population exploded earlier this year at this point now where every one of these raccoons is expecting food every time they see this lady.
And they all told their friends.
Yes,
right,
they did.
Like, hey, you know that lady up on the hill?
Speaking
free
of
free food.
So now they're trying to figure out how to remove them all. She said she was getting quoted at $500 a raccoon to remove them.
Oh, no.
That's so expensive. Yes. It's not cheap to do that with squirrels either, by the way.
Right? So, yeah. So there you go. So what do? Just eventually, maybe if you stop feeding them, eventually they'll kind of...
But then they get mad. And then they sound like this.
Oh. Yeah, that seems like something I want to feed.
That's real coon sound?
That's a raccoon. Two raccoons fighting.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not as cute there.
So, of course, as always, you know me, I love finding the reporter who has a little fun with this. Well, she did at 9 News in NBC.
Usually when sheriff's deputies get called to a home invasion to find some masked bandits, they're not already wearing prison stripes.
Yuck. But in this case,
see, you see the masked bandit, they're the raccoons. See, they're wearing a mask.
Might have to follow up on this one to see how quickly they can get rid of all of these raccoons.
You will have to follow up.
Yeah.
You got anything else from her?
She
didn't leave it at just one pun.
I can give you another one.
Among the raccoon population here in Poulsbo, word got out about the midnight all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yes. Tell your
trash
friends.
Trash pandas.
Trash pandas.
Yes, I demand a follow-up on
this
story.
The one thing I do know...
You're on that beat.
In the homeowner's defense, if there is an animal that I think needs more assistance, it's the raccoon.
Yeah, because they don't typically do well on their own.
What are you doing? Like, what makes you think you need to feed these things?
Invite you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. Regrettably, I'm asking right now after that segment. Forget you just heard all that and then fill it out. Okay, fine. Takes about 10 minutes to fill it out. We're asking for your feedback here. Participate by texting the word survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line. It's 855-616-1620. We will send a survey link to you. And then to thank you for participating, upon completion, we'll enter you to win a package that includes a pair of Bucks tickets for the upcoming regular season and an overnight stay at the Pfister.
It was a hoot at the state Supreme
Court.
Sounded
like it.
More on that in a minute, but first the actual news of the conversation. So you know how the governor of Wisconsin has the line item veto power, especially when it comes to the state budget. When the budget proposal is given to him or her, the governor is allowed to just kind of do what they will and cut out different words and different phrases and things.
It's born of a desire to allow the governor to veto portions of legislation without vetoing the whole thing. So
right.
If there's like a, you know, like a budget bill, for example, is massive. It has a lot of stuff that maybe everybody agrees on. You don't want to have to send the whole budget back to be relitigated. So, all right, cross this out. Didn't like this, didn't like that.
So the state Supreme Court is hearing a lawsuit this week from what Governor Evers did, a creative use of his expansive veto power in an attempt to lock in a school funding increase for 400 years. So he was able to eliminate a hyphen and some words and a number or two and make the increase last until 2425 instead of just until next year. Of 2024.
The year 2425.
Yes. Correct.
When the voters enacted the partial veto power in 1930, they didn't envision anything like this happening.
That is attorney Scott Rose now.
In this case, the governor did not delete whole words. He selectively struck individual digits, whole words, and a dash to effectively create a new word. That's really, I think, what sets this case apart from any of this court's precedents.
So this has been discussed at nauseam for years, the idea and the ability that the governor has. And the justices all kind of agreed, hey, you're right, it's a little over the top. Here's Brian Hagedorn.
When legal scholars and others who look at what we do in our body of case law, and they think it's crazy, because it is crazy. We allow governors to unilaterally create law that has not been proposed to them at all.
And that may be true. However, what's the state Supreme Court able to do about it? Here's Justice Rebecca Dell.
I think an initial reaction from maybe anyone looking at this is, wow, right? That seems extreme. That seems like it shouldn't be able to be done. But then becomes how.
Right. So how are you supposed to respond to something that we all may agree is a little crazy, but at the same time, justices can't recreate the law. They can interpret some things. And there's already been some rulings in place previous to this case, which also has to dictate a little bit of what they do and what they say.
And if this sounds familiar, if you're as old as Eric and I are, so I'm 50 right now, this just when I started paying attention to the world, right? In the 90s, this came up. There was Governor Earl and then later Governor Thompson using this broad power that
yes.
was given to Wisconsin governors. They used to call it the Vanna White veto because
yes.
they used to have more power than they do right now. And they were creating new sentences based on crossing out things. So we made a couple of changes, but we didn't do it through the courts. We did it through a pair of constitutional amendments mm-hmm. starting in the 1990s.
Vanna White veto is defined as a budget veto that cuts phrases, letters,
yeah.
word fragments to create new words and sentences. In this case, however, and that's what these lawyers say the governor did. However, what about numbers? Numbers aren't really the same thing as a word or a letter, says Justice Ann Walsh Bradley.
I think it doesn't take a constitutional expert or what they refer to as a Philadelphia lawyer, a fourth grader, or dare I say a four-year-old, knows the difference between letters and numbers.
Yeah, the amendment says you can't strike letters. The amendment doesn't talk about digits. Or numbers. So they're different, says some of these justices. So what do you do in this case? Well, they'll have their writing and their opinions, and they'll make a decision on this, and that'll come out in weeks or months from now. So what's so funny?
Yes, please.
Well, so the attorney Rosenau said, look, you know, this is a pretty clear-cut case.
Open and shut,
he
right?
believes. And he says that, hey, you know what? It should be fairly easy to write an opinion on this and crank it out pretty quickly.
I understand.
Right? That's just, here it is. Here's the Rosenau.
I understand.
Nope, that's not him, sorry.
Come on, Rosenau.
Here we go, here he is.
I think if the court were to resolve this case on just one of the two alternative grounds, it could probably write an opinion, frankly, in maybe 20 paragraphs or fewer. Under Section 10.
Have you read our opinion,
Simon? We're great at that.
Now you're so funny.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of paragraphs,
good.
Really?
That's good.
So they keep laughing at him. So he doubles back.
Maybe the majority opinion could be 20.
Well played.
Did I say paragraphs? I meant pages.
Still going.
Okay. Well,
how wonderful.
Thanks for making us laugh.
That sure was a good one. Yeah. Well, maybe there's something there.
Maybe you should have shorter opinions written.
Do you need a book and a half to say, like, yeah, we agree?
To blow up on your coworker?
That's right. That's why those are so long. Yes. They're always calling each other out. There's little snipes.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was bipartisan laughter there.
Bipartisan laughter. You're right.
Yes.
How wonderful.
8:51 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Nice stretch here continues. Sunny and mild today with a high of 73, a bit cooler near the lake. Tonight's low down to 53 with mainly clear skies. They're promising again a chance to see the northern lights, which I can never see. This never seems to work out.
Big day tonight, not just for the northern lights, but for Tesla. Tonight's the big night. Unveiling a new vehicle. We Robot.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk has called it the Cyber Cab, a self-driving taxi that would operate much like the rideshare service Uber does, just without any drivers.
That would allow these specialized vehicles, or who knows, maybe even passenger Teslas, to operate on this robo-taxi network.
ABC's Mike DeBusky there. So the idea basically being that it's like Uber, but you just dial this up and they'll have all these Teslas kind of driving around, taking you from place to place.
The innovation that got me more interested in this, because we already have some self-driving cabs, right?
Yep. San Francisco's
was this idea of like a massive number of these vehicles, like a fleet that would make it super easy, convenient to use.
Enough where maybe you don't even own a vehicle. CBS News tech consultant Ian Schur.
What it really represents is possibly a change in the way we all use and own cars. The idea that we would rely on a network of self-driving taxis instead of possibly owning a car that sits in our front yards when we're not using it.
Now, this isn't going to happen tomorrow, but think about that. Okay, I'm going to run to the store quick. Just check the app. Bing. And all of a sudden, here comes the Tesla or other vehicle. Other companies are doing this as well, looking into this. And pulls up. There you go. Jump in and get your ride that way.
Get yourself in your Johnny cab.
Minority Report, they all talked. Did I just hear a Johnny cab?
Yes.
Okay.
Before Minority Report.
Yes. That was Total Recall.
Total Recall. What was it, 1990?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Welcome to Johnny Cab.
Drive.
Yes.
Drive. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the direction.
You could just drive. You could do the whole scene.
Do you have him? Play Johnny Cab.
Where am I?
You're in a Johnny Cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. Would you please rephrase the question?
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door opened. You got in.
See you at the party, Richter.